You have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever.
Stay hungry.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
This is the E-Commerce All-Stars podcast, brought to you with heart by Nedimo.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining today's podcast with your host Brandon Moscow, of course. And today I'm excited, we have Ashley Haywood. She's the founder of Embrew on the line. I've been reaching out to her for a little while now, and last spoke with her, she was just had so much good information to share that I wanted to get her on the show. And I was really happy to have her because she's going to talk today a little bit about her struggles and whatnot that she's been facing, as every entrepreneur faces. It's very rare that you have somebody who's willing to openly talk about those. And she really articulated them really well with me on the phone last time I talked to her. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I also want everybody to know that the reason I called her initially was really because she's doing some really, really interesting things in her space, and essentially created a new product within a very competitive niche category as it was. And so I loved the strategic approach she was taking to it. And the more I talked to her, the more I really learned about how strategic she really is and the way her brain works. And it was just fascinating to me. So that'll end my long introduction. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'd love if you could kind of just articulate a little bit for people about, you know, what your background is, but mostly really what is Embrew and what have you done there in that, with that product?
Sure. So I'll tell you a little bit about Embrew first, just to kind of lay a foundation, and then go back about why that. So Embrew is a new product. I've created a sweetened tea bag. So it's a combination of a high quality loose leaf grade tea with an artisan or craft sweetener combined in the tea bag. So you can brew all in one step without adding anything else to your cup. It's already a little bit sweet. And to me, it makes a perfectly balanced cup every time. So tea is kind of an obsession that I've had for a long time. I'm not a coffee drinker, except on the rare occasion that I need a lot of caffeine. I stick to tea because the caffeine really kind of rocks my body. I don't like the way that it makes me feel. Caffeine doesn't really work for me in high doses like that. So, and tea is so versatile. So many different flavors, so many different processes and regions that it's grown. There's just so much to explore. So for a long time, I think because I'm partially looking for solutions to problems, and because I'm lazy, I wanted to have the sweetener combined with the tea in the tea bag. So about 10 years ago, I first thought of it. I was more or less in a steady job, but the recession was hitting. I was looking for other opportunities, and this idea just came into my head, and I didn't do anything about it back then, and it's kind of interesting to think what would have happened had I started it back then, because I really literally just wanted to cut open a tea bag, put some sugar in there, close it back up, and put it in my cup. But now that I've actually gone through the research and development and done a lot of the tastings and learned more about the tea culture, I think the product is so much better than it would have been back then.
And just on that very quickly, I want to say one thing is when you hear about some of the things that the struggles she's facing, you're gonna instantly think, how could she think of herself as lazy? So when you call it class, said, you know, and partly because I'm lazy, I understand what you're saying. You just cut open the tea bag, put your sugar in, or you wanted to have your sugar all in one step. I totally get that, but I think of you as the furthest person from lazy. I would almost put it as a life hack in a way, in that sense, so that, because I would not think of you as lazy, but maybe I'm.
Well, thanks for saying that. Maybe it's selective laziness, because I do hate going to fill up my water at the water cooler. Things like that. I just don't. Sometimes I get deep into my work and I just want to have everything that I need right next to me. And so being able to just fill up my cup with hot water and put a tea bag in there with the sweetener already in there solved an issue that I feel like other people would appreciate as well. So I started it after the thought just never really left me. So I revisited it. It kind of was one of those things that haunted me for a few years. And eventually I decided it was time. Now, I decided it was time probably at the most inopportune time. I had just had my second kid. So I had a baby and a toddler. I have a full-time job and a husband. And I just felt like I was really doing a lot during the day that was for everybody else except for me. I was, you know, taking someone else's company forward and driving sales for them. I was trying to be a good mom, trying to be a good wife, and it didn't leave me any time for myself and my own projects and my own creativity. So I was tired of it and fed up and wanted to do something that I could stand behind and something that truly defined who I was. And so I decided to pull the trigger, and Embrew was born. So that was about 2 years ago when I finally got my LLC set up and tried to figure out all the documentation and licensing that I needed, all the insurance, and how to get a business started, how to do research and development, make sure my products are safe, I have a background in e-commerce and graphic design and marketing. So those things, I kind of have a leg up because I know where to go to get things that I need, and I have rudimentary design skills, so I'm able to get my brand created and my packaging created without an upfront cost, just my time.
Which is always a big benefit, but in the same time, I mean, your time is what's really a major struggle for you too right now, and the timing of when you wanted to launch or start your business, like you said, is probably the most inopportune time. But I think in some ways, from what you've just said, and this is just my own personal opinion, is I see it with my own wife as well. Like, you don't make time for yourselves as new moms and as wives. And I think that that's a really great thing that you did for yourself as well. Because you, as mom, new moms and as wives, you guys deserve that, I think. But trying to make that time regardless doesn't make it, it's not easy, I'll bet.
Right. Well, thanks for saying that. I think it's important to not just fill your time with tasks, but to really find things that you enjoy doing. And of course, I don't like every single thing about working on my own business, but there's so much about it that I'm passionate about, and it makes me a better person and a better mom and a better wife and a better employee, for that matter, for somebody else to be satisfied in my own project.
That's really interesting what you just said, because it's one of those things. It's an endless struggle that people face, and it's, well, do I make time for myself? And the answer is always yes, but it's hard to do. But you make that time for yourself because it does exactly what you said. It makes you better at all other aspects of your life. So way to go on that. Would you mind sharing some of the struggles that you've been facing? I know that you kind of articulated it into 3 points for me, and I'd love you to share those with everyone.
So I've already hit on the time issue. So starting the business in a time of my life, in a phase that is already pretty full, Having kids for anybody is a time suck and a drain, and it's things that you have to do. There's no getting around most of the things that you have to do with your children and for your children. And so I have a very small amount of time that I can work on this business, which is hard to move it forward. So I'm learning slowly. A lot of people talk about failing fast. There's nothing fast about what I'm doing. By only putting in, 6 or 8 hours a week at the most on it. So when I have to do and work on every aspect of the business, from accounting and bookkeeping and reporting and inventory ordering, manufacturing, newsletters and social media, and the list just goes on and on and on, the amount of time that I have to dedicate out of the 6 to 8 hours per week is getting divided into fractions for each of those functions. So as a solopreneur, which is the new buzzword, it is extremely challenging to decide what is going to drive the business forward the most and what is critical at that moment. And so that might be why a month passes and I haven't reached out to my audience and my newsletter, my email opt-in list, because I've prioritized putting out a new flavor over that. So time is definitely the number one struggle. The second struggle is manufacturing. So I have a unique product because there's sweetener inside the tea bag. So I use various sweeteners inside. I use granulated maple. I'll use an organic sugar. I have a smoked sugar, and I have granulated honey. I've explored coconut palm sugar, monk fruit, stevia, all those things. And they each come with their own challenges because of the texture of the sweetener. But in general, sweeteners have a higher density and specific gravity than the tea does. Tea is fairly lightweight. And I'm using a whole leaf tea or large fragments of tea leaves. So I can't just put it all together and toss it around and then shoot that into a hopper for it to weigh the appropriate dose and put it in the tea bag, because all the sugar would fall to the bottom. So I have to dispense the ingredients separately, which requires specialty equipment, dual hoppers, measuring and weighing and dispensing simultaneously into the same tea bag. So that type of equipment is very expensive. I'm not in a position right now to be able to afford hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment, and there aren't really, seemingly, there aren't any co-packers in the United States that will manufacture in this way. I don't doubt that they exist, and hopefully I will find them. And if I have to go internationally to do my manufacturing, I might have to consider that, but my preference is to have my manufacturing done domestically.
Great. On that note, though, that is one thing that we talked about last time, and I think it's important. You had told me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had told me that originally you thought, well, I'll just, find the cheapest bag or cheapest tea, the cheapest sugars, and take a big margin and be happy with that. And then as you researched it and looked into it, one of the things that you found is that's when you started looking at artisan sugars, and I'm not sure about the loose leaf teas and that sort of thing, but you took a different stance for ethical reasons. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I did want to originally it was all about just making a sweetened tea bag and taking a tea bag grade tea, which is very powdery, crushed, pulverized tea, using the least amount possible to get the strength of the cup that you need. So there's just not a lot of ingredients put in those everyday tea bags. I wanted to do something better. And when I started looking into sourcing, I the first place that I kind of did my search was with keywords like fair trade or tea farms, and I discovered this whole world of direct trade, which is businesses that go directly to farms in order to source their products, and how much that cuts down on the supply chain. And eventually, so when supply chains get really long and cumbersome, and there are multiple people passing the tea through their hands, from importers to distributors to wholesalers to retailers, a lot of times, each time they have to mark up the product to in order to make money. And instead of that being passed along to the end consumer with a high price point, they're cutting the wages and the price that they're paying the farmers. So the farmers are getting paid typically 10 to 15% of the final product price in the traditional supply chain method. So by going directly to the tea farms, or somebody who is working with the tea farmers directly, they get to keep 50 to 60% of their the end retail cost of the product, which is super nice. And it was something that I really just wanted to know where my tea was coming from, because you can't find that on the back of the box. It might say from India or Ceylon or Japan, but they won't say, oh, you know, here's the guy that is the lead processor and cultivar at this particular farm, and here are the farming practices that they have. Here are the types of pesticides and herbicides that they use, things like that. So with the model that I wanted to be part of, I'm able to do that. So I can call up my supplier, because she has a really awesome resource with the farmers. I can set up Google Hangouts and meet them. I can talk to them about their process and their products and see exactly where the tea that I'm buying is coming from, and I can pass that along to my customers too. So it was pretty important to me to be ethical about where I was getting my product from. I watched a documentary called True Cost, which focused on the fashion industry and kind of just the terror that the fashion industry can create in terms of low wages for their workers and unsafe working conditions. And, you know, there's a constant battle between whether or not fashion is doing them a favor by manufacturing in their country and giving them jobs, or is it hurting them because it's polluting the environment and they're forcing the factories to offer the lowest price absolutely possible, and they take it out of the wages of the people. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't take part in that, and that my business was improving the world in some way, not just because people love to drink tea, but because people who are either making the packaging or manufacturing for me or growing the tea, are their lives are being improved because of the work that goes into my product.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons, outside of the struggle, but this was one of the main reasons that really attracted me to what you're doing. And that's why I wanted to circle back on that point for everybody, because I think, like I said in the beginning, you know, you had to create a new niche in order to compete in a very competitive space. The tea market is picking up and continues to grow rapidly. And so if you want to compete in that space, how do you be different? And so, you know, you had a passion towards being lazy, so to speak, but just like, let's get the sweeteners in the bags. And it's not just sugar, it's all these other variations of sweeteners. And then you add on top of that, you add that layer of ethical supply chain. And all of a sudden, I think you've got a winner there. And that's why I was like, this is great. This is fantastic what you're doing. I love that. And of course, I want to talk about some of the struggles that you've run into. And I think that's why I wanted to circle back to that point, because those are the two things that I see that you're doing so well at, and I don't see you ever deviating from those because they are basically built into what you're doing.
Right.
And it's to me, it's very fascinating. But
Well,
anyway,
thanks.
I keep tooting your horn for you, but I mean, honestly, I think you're up to some really good things here, and that's why, like I said, I wanted to have you on. You were talking though about the manufacturing and obviously all the different equipment that's needed when you're using these different products that you're talking about and blending the two together, because it's not like it's just one type of tea or blending different teas together. You're blending in these different weights, different textures of sweeteners. Was there anything else on the manufacturing side of things that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm at a crossroads where I have to decide whether or not I'm going to either go overseas for production or try and figure out a way to sweeten the tea leaves without a granulated sweetener. Or I have to continue and grow my manual manufacturing process.
Right.
So what I'm considering doing is hiring people to do the manual work, which I've calculated based on what I know co-packing rates to be. I can pay someone an hourly wage that's decent. It's above, well above the minimum wage, and a person can physically manufacture the tea bags at the same rate, if not faster, or for less money. I shouldn't say faster because it wouldn't be faster, but
Right.
for less money than the per bag price of the co-packing and manufacturing facility. So I'm considering looking for a way to employ either women or just people who have had that are in a situation where work is not easily attainable for them because of their circumstances, or if they don't have proper transportation, or whatever the case is. I would love to be able to offer them something that they could be proud to work on, even though they probably have struggled in their past to find work. So that might be a route that I take in order to get ramp up manufacturing, because I do need this to go a lot faster, especially as I grow. So that's going to be a question that I have to answer very soon, because I won't be able to keep up with the manufacturing on my own with my very nice volunteer help that comes with me to bag my tea.
Well, you have to start somewhere, and for that, like I said, it's hard to do, and you've done well at that thus far. But yeah, scaling the business is always a tricky situation, and in the situation you're in there, it's crossroads, like you called it. So yeah, I wish you luck on that one for sure.
Well, thanks. Yeah, my third struggle is with distribution. So every company, product, you name it, struggles with where to focus their distribution, how to get there, how to grow with their distribution, where to take the leaps, how to get different types of retailers on board. So I'm looking at those things. It's hard to know whether I should focus on the wholesale accounts or work on digital marketing aspects of direct sales to consumers. So it's a hard thing when I've been bankrolling my business myself, and so the startup capital was very small, just enough to get things off the ground. And now that the business is making money, I keep money in the business and can earmark some for marketing, but it's not much. So it's really hard to test and learn marketing campaigns with a very small shoestring budget. You just can't learn as fast when you're putting $50 to $100 against a campaign instead of $500, $1,000, $1,500, you know, $5,000. Sure. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what works with low budget and how I can build on the knowledge that I gain in baby steps.
Right. And that is one of the struggles, I mean, especially in digital marketing. People talk about digital marketing, you don't have to pay a lot, but you have a balance there in order to really figure out what worked and what didn't. And so you're not throwing a whole bunch of money out and then finding out that didn't work, money that you don't have. It is a delicate balance of, okay, what can I learn with my marketing that we did do on a lower budget? And I mean, they always say in everything, numbers speak volumes, right? And so the more data you have, the better. And when you're on a limited marketing budget, you have less data to look at. And so definitely a struggle there. Did you have anything else?
Well, I think it's just important to maybe talk about where your strengths are and how you approach your business based on your strengths. So I think I have started a few other side hustle type projects in the past, and I always took the approach that I would focus on the marketing and the branding and the online presence first, because that's what I knew. And
right.
With this business, I took the opposite approach. I knew nothing about manufacturing. I knew nothing about sourcing product. I knew nothing about making the business actually work. And so that's what I dove into first. And so I didn't even have a website until 6 months after I started working on everything. I did solidify a brand name fairly early just because I wanted to set up my business under my name. And I made sure that there was a URL available. So I was able to find a 6-character URL, which is pretty amazing. There just aren't very many of those left out there that are cohesive or coherent, I should say, in
yep.
the name. So that was good. I had to do, background trademark research. I have experience with that. I didn't employ anyone there, but I feel and felt pretty confident that there would never be any trademark infringement there. I had to look at the availability of patenting my product, which turns out it can't be done. So I guess putting multiple ingredients into a tea bag is not novel enough to have a utility patent against it. So unless I was going to design like a brand new looking tea bag, there just isn't a patent that can protect what I do. So there's also that risk. So one thing I've always been afraid of is that I hear a lot of people talk about how they put their ideas out there and somebody else takes them, or they're afraid that someone else is going to take them. And what I've learned and have heard so many times is that ideas are a dime a dozen. It's the people and that have the drive and the vision to see something through, because so many people have ideas that never go anywhere. That happens all the time. It's happened with me. And so I'm not afraid. I prefer to live in a world of abundance where I know that there's enough with this idea and in this industry to have a spot carved out for Imbrew. Any day Lipton or Bigelow or somebody could come in and put out a sweetened tea bag. And I don't necessarily think that that would crush me. I feel like that might actually help, because the industry will be educating the consumer on something that they didn't know that they needed, and with a lot more dollars than I have. And so part of what I have to do is educate people on why they might need a sweetened tea bag. Most people, it's a pretty obvious concept right away, and the novelty of it is pretty impactful. But I think in terms of how that might help me, rather than be afraid that all of this work is going to be for nothing.
Yeah, I think you have a very positive look at it, and I think that's actually very well said, what you're talking about with it, the people, the drive and that vision. It also becomes that person in you, that drive, that vision, that all becomes your brand too. And so people can't, yeah, they can go and knock off what you're doing to some regard. Some regard, because they also have to remember all that effort and work you've put into it isn't going to be able to just be taken without some level of research and knowledge and work behind the scenes anyway. But just the whole that brand that you're creating and all the good things you talked about ethically, you're creating a brand, and that and to just duplicate everything there, that's not possible, because then they'd have to essentially clone you. And so, I mean, yes, there's always that worry, and yes, like you said, they could come along and do that, but I think you have a positive look there too, in that they can spend all the money and the marketing of getting the idea of a sweetened tea bag out there, and that's going to do nothing but help you. So anyway, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, like they're good. They're good thoughts, and I've had to change. I've had to shift my mindset because it's a scary thing. It's a vulnerable thing to put yourself out there and put a product out there that you don't know whether people are going to like or not like. And luckily, I've gotten enough positive feedback. Not, I know a lot of people go through struggles of negative feedback, even though they know they have a good idea, and then they come out on the other side with a really awesome product because they decided not to listen to the people who were naysayers. And I really haven't come across that. And I think it depends on how you choose to go after your customer. So my customer isn't a true tea snob because a true tea snob won't sweeten their tea at all.
Yes, that's
And I'm
very
not trying
true.
to appeal to them. I'm trying to appeal to the person who is a regular tea drinker. They love the different flavors. They like loose tea even. But they don't want to have to deal with the hassle all the time of their diffuser and cleaning up loose tea leaves and having the sweetener separated, the honey pots and packets, sugar packets, and who knows
Yeah.
what. People do different things with their tea, and this is something that is all together. So.
Well, I mean, I'm a big loose leaf tea drinker, and I used to be a bit of a tea snob where I wouldn't put sugar in it, but some teas they taste better with sweetener. And so I
I
used to do
agree.
that, and the problem was that when I started doing that, then my diffuser would get all gunked up and sticky and all these silly little things that you don't really think about, but then you start drinking less tea because it's such a pain in the butt just to clean out your diffuser. And I know that sounds lazy, right? I mean, that goes back to what you said there, but I mean,
That's
so I
the
totally see the
truth.
value in what you're doing. And so yeah, it is true. It's absolutely true. And in a society of convenience as well, that's the other side of what you've got going for you. I'm gonna end it on that because I know that we're short on time here too, but I did want to know if you had any final words of wisdom for us.
I really liked a quote that I heard recently from Brené Brown, I think is who it was. Actually, no, it was Elizabeth Gilbert. I get those two mixed up because they're both so great, and they have a lot of nuggets to give you in your life. But really, it's not a novel piece of advice, but it is something that got me thinking. So the quote is that time is not something you find, it's something that you make. And so everyone has the same amount of time during the day, and we all have to decide how we want to use that time. And you can't make excuses for not having time, it's just that you haven't prioritized whatever it is that you haven't gotten done. So I try to remember that I need to schedule time for myself. I need to schedule downtime, and I need to schedule my time effectively for my business because I have a very finite amount of time to dedicate to it. So I encourage you and your listeners to make sure that you prioritize what you want to prioritize for the day, every day, even projecting on to the next day, so that you can be as effective as you can and still have time for yourself and have downtime.
Awesome. Well, that's excellent words of wisdom, Ashley. Thank you. How can people get a hold of you?
So my website is embrew.com. I'm on Instagram as embrew.com as well, embrewdotcom. And you can reach me at ashley@embrew.com.
Awesome. Thanks for all your time and your wisdom today, Ashley.
You're very welcome. I'm excited that you were wanting to share my story and my business with your listeners.
You have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever.
Stay hungry.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
This is the E-Commerce All-Stars podcast, brought to you with heart by Nedimo.com.